lovers of the macabre. I'm Alma.
And I'm Lauren.
And this is
Morbid Possessions.
So we're coming to you from Lauren's closet once again, and today we're going to be talking to you guys about, drumroll, Haddon Irving Clark. So he's not really a well-known serial killer or any of that sorts, but Lauren and I found this story very, very interesting. Right, Lauren?
Yeah, I must say this. We say this a lot, like, this story has everything. No, this one really does.
It is. It's one of our most disturbing stories, which is what we say every episode.
Every episode.
But this story is very, very disturbing.
It has the great makings of a serial killer.
He does. This is truly the making of a serial killer. He just had every single aspect. He had it in his genes. He had the abusive childhood. He had...
Sorry. He said he had it in his jeans. And I was in his pants. I was like,
A serial killer in his pants. Ew. What does that even mean?
Okay, guys, I'm a little sleep deprived, and I'm drinking White Claw, because I'm a basic biatch.
I've never had this until today, and I am not disappointed. I feel like it's not that strong, and I'm getting, it's like spiked sparkling water, so I'm getting mostly hydration and less alcohol, which is what I need in this point of my life, at this age.
How much sodium is in here?
I don't know.
There are 20 grams of sodium, because it's seltzer.
Ew, that sounds like a lot.
It's a lot.
So, Haddon Irving Clark was born on July 31st, 1952, in Troy, New York. He came from a pretty well-off family. His family was affluent, and he was also a Mayflower descendant. Did you know this?
Ew.
So, his grandfather was... Did you see this?
No.
Do you know his name?
No.
Maynard Scranton. Scranton. Like, from The Office.
I got it. Okay. I got it. I saw your face and immediately realized what you were talking about.
So his grandfather was Maynard Scranton, and he was the mayor of White Plains. He was a member of the same frat as Gerald Ford and George H.W. Bush.
He definitely was a Republican.
Definitely. So his father was Haddon Clark Sr., and he had a PhD and an MBA in chemistry. The mother, Flavia, was a homemaker. Although his family was well off, they were extremely dysfunctional. His parents were alcoholics, and they were verbally and physically abusive, and they would fight in front of him. He was the second oldest out of four kids. As a toddler, he had a learning delay. So it took him a lot longer to be able to walk, and he walked unsteadily when he did begin walking, and it did take him a long time to learn how to speak. Like, he had a speech impediment or a speech delay. So when he was four, his mother took him to Yale Study Child Center after he was hit in the head with a bike. Which
serial killer trademark number one.
I read somewhere that it was his brother that ran over his head with a bike. But I'm not sure how truthful that is. But something happened. I don't know if it was on purpose, but his head got ran over with a bike.
You know what? Like Karen and Georgia say, from My Favorite Murder, if your kid has a head injury, send them back. Because they're gonna be a serial killer.
That's valid. If you have any damage to your frontal lobe, that's it. You're done. So, he was diagnosed with brain damage, and he had mild cerebral I can't even talk right now.
This is only your second one.
I know. Cerebral palsy. So, his father, being the asshole that his father was, would call him, I don't even want to say this word. Lauren, can you say this word?
A cross-dresser?
No. His father would call him the R word.
Oh.
I don't want to say it. I don't know if you want to say it, nope. But I'm against saying nope. that word.
Nope. I just strongly dislike that word.
So I'm going to come at it from a more scientific point of view, because I did learn this in psych. Back in the day when the IQ test was originally created, the level of the farthest of the most severe learning delay and like social delay, which would now we would call like, okay, so it was a, I'm sorry, I'm like getting so tongue twisted right now. So basically the word retard used to be for someone who was mentally challenged, which now we don't find that word to be appropriate. So that was the severe form of mental damage. And then you had your imbeciles and your morons. So it was socially acceptable to call people this during this time, which is just so socially unacceptable now.
So it'd be like 50s, late 50s, early 60s. Yeah. Well,
I can't remember the name of the
guy. There was a lot of things that weren't okay back then.
Yeah, that's very true. So
the only thing that was okay were the clothes.
His father would call him this word. And obviously that did severe damage to Haddon. So when he was very young, he began torturing animals. And I read somewhere that they recall him killing a bunny or strangling the bunny to death.
See, so far I see 3 strikes for, you know, him being a serial killer. He's just checking them off.
Checking them off.
Fuck off.
Yeah, so he would also, I don't know if you read this, he would decapitate the heads of the kids who would tease him. No, not the actual kids. The kids' pets. He would find their pet and decapitate them.
Yeah.
He also got a pet raccoon and he taught him how to sit on his head. Did you read? I'm gonna guess you didn't read that.
I didn't read that.
By your reaction. So Haddon and his brothers were in the Boy Scouts, and Haddon would freak out when he was a kid anytime that he would be criticized by others. He did not handle criticism well at all. When his mom would get drunk, she would dress him up in girls' clothing, and she would call him Kristen because secretly, allegedly, the mother Flavia and the father wanted to have a girl.
I read that many, many places.
Yeah.
And it was mentioned on documentaries.
It was repeated. On some, it said it was the mother. On other parts, it said the father.
And some, it said both.
Yeah.
So, allegedly, we're going by both.
Yeah.
So see, another strike. Checking it off.
Yeah.
Mommy issues.
Mommy issues. Yeah, I definitely have that noted somewhere. Extreme mommy issues. His father, he eventually started running through lots of jobs, and they started moving once a year. So, this is very unstable for a child. When you're moving that much, you're not able to make friends. You're not able to become... to gain any real social skills at all.
Yeah.
I mean, unless, well, like, you can, but in his case, he has been so, like, mentally abused that this is not gonna be a situation into where he's making friends constantly every time they move. And he's being bullied and beaten up by the kids. So when he was a teen, his parents caught him wearing women's clothing. And then shortly after, he was caught by the police for being a peeping Tom. His father tried to change him. So when he was bathing in the bathtub, he broke into the bathroom. And he beat him with a belt as he was butt naked in the bathroom after taking a bath. That is just like a next level of, you don't do that. You don't invade someone's privacy when they're taking a bath.
You also don't force your child to be someone they're not You also don't just don't call your kid the R word.
Yeah, I think he beat him primarily for being caught for being a peeping Tom on top of cross-dressing.
But it's like, what do you expect from him, especially if you're making him do it?
Yeah, that's true, because they're the ones that are giving him these problems. So, Haddon, after high school, he enrolled in culinary school at a prestigious 2-year school, and he graduated. He worked at top restaurants, cruise lines, hotels, but he was never able to keep a job because of his odd behavior. So he worked in Provincetown in Cape Cod for a while, and I believe this was when he was still working in restaurants or cooking. So he eventually ended up confessing to murdering women during this time and drinking their blood. So after going through 14 jobs between...
Was he a part of the vampire cult?
That's exactly what I thought when I saw that. After going through 14 jobs between 1974 and 82, he went to join the Navy to be a deck cook. He was ridiculed and beaten up because he wore women's clothing, specifically women's panties. The guys in the Navy, especially during that time, they definitely were not going to handle that situation correctly.
I'm aware. Do you see who I live with?
Yeah. So, he had an honorable discharge after he was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia. His psychiatrist stated that he manifested by persecutory and grandiose delusions. So, that's when shit started to go to shit. So, during the summer of 1984 in June, his brother, Bradfield, his older brother, invited a coworker, Trish Mack, over for dinner. And this doesn't involve Haddon at all. Her husband couldn't attend, and so she still went to the dinner, and Bradfield tried to flirt with her and got with her, which he failed at. So, allegedly, throughout the night, they had been drinking, and allegedly, he was doing drugs. I'm not entirely too sure about how valid the drug part is. Quaaludes?
Everyone was on
Quaaludes. Everyone was on Quaaludes. So, after a night of drinking and whatever else, definitely not anything romantic because she didn't want it. He banged her head against a brick wall and then he strangled her, dismembered her body with a kitchen knife into 11 pieces. He then wrapped her body up in garbage bags and stored her body in his Datsun 200SX, which is an older car. He then barbecued her breasts on the grill and ate them. So after this...
Ew.
He tried to commit suicide and he was hospitalized. The police still didn't know that he had committed the crime. So when he was hospitalized, he confessed at the hospital to his crime and stated that her body was in the trunk of his car. He pleaded guilty to second-degree murder and he was sentenced to 18 years to life. And this was in June 1985. So he was sent to California State Prison Solano. Haddon claimed to have been shocked by Bradfield's crime, which is kind of hard to, I don't know, just because they both ended up committing crimes, it's like, did they both kind of know that they were going down this road? Like, was he really shocked? But Bradfield's cannibalism was driven by psychosexual desires due to the killing not being enough. So, what I learned in school is that, according to Freud, there are 5 psychosexual stages in infancy, and if you don't get past these in childhood, it's likely to affect you in adulthood. So, Bradfield's act of cannibalism and murder could have had to do with the need not being met in infancy. So, according to Freud, it all has to do with, for men, sexual attraction to your mother, really, in men, which a lot of people, and this is why a lot of people went against Freud, because they were like, no, not everything is sexually motivated, and you don't want to bang your mom or your dad. So that's why they created different stages. Mm-hmm. But we still do use Freud's psychosexual stages. Like, they're still helpful to an extent.
Yeah.
So, after this, Haddon went to go live with his brother Geoff in Silver Springs, Maryland, which didn't last for long because, what? Maryland? Geoff.
Jeff.
His name was Geoff.
Why do they have the weirdest spelling name? Like, literally, that's Jeff.
G-E-O-F-F.
Yeah. Some people pronounce that Jeff.
That's Jeff. Wow, okay. So, he was staying with his brother Jeff.
It's like Haddon. I read it as Hayden until I watched it in a... Or I was watching a documentary, and they said Haddon, and they kept repeating Haddon, and I was like, oh... So I'm dumb.
Yeah. Their names are a little, I mean, not like too weird or anything.
I mean, it's a weird family.
Yeah.
We'll chop it up to that.
So.
Not saying people who have unique names come from weird families.
So he stayed with his brother, Jeff, which didn't last for long because he was, do you know what he did? Do you want to say it?
Mm-mm.
Please say it.
No, thank you.
He was caught masturbating in front of the brother's children, so they kicked him out.
Mm-mm.
On May 31st, 1986, as Haddon was picking up his belongings to leave his brother's house after he was kicked out, a 4-year-old neighbor stopped by looking for his niece to play. So she had left the backyard while she was at her father's house visiting her father. And she was visiting her father and he let her play outside in the pool. So she left the house and she went over there to look for her friend. So she knocks on the door and Haddon answers the door. And he tells her the little girl's in the house, even though she's not in the house. So then she follows him into the house, and he butchers her with a knife. So after he butchered her body, he put her body in a duffel bag, and he buried her in a park near the home.
It's like a sweet angel.
Yeah. It's so sad.
She just wanted to play.
She was only 4 years old. So, Haddon was interrogated by the police for the crime, and he stated that he never saw Michelle, but he did become a person of interest. Unfortunately, during that time, the prime suspect for Michelle Doerr's disappearance was her own father. Being that she was last seen leaving the father's kitchen and heading to a plastic pool in the backyard. So the father was watching, I believe it was like a race on the TV or something, mm-hmm. So he lost track of time. So while being interrogated, her father cracked under pressure and wrongfully admitted to the murder. He said that he killed her, and he later ended up saying that he had a nervous breakdown during the interrogation because during that time he was going through a bad divorce with the mother mm-hmm. of Michelle's mother. And then her death on top of that and him being the prime suspect was just way too much for him. Which sucks because had he not cracked, they could have found Haddon. They could have caught him earlier on.
Yeah. I mean, he was under so much pressure and stress. And a lot of the time they're being interrogated for hours and hours and hours without food, water.
Because they want to get that confession out of you no matter what. Even if it's a wrong confession, an untruthful confession, they just want to get someone.
It's upsetting.
Yeah. So, not in all cases, but just in some. Right. Especially if they, for some reason, really believe that it's them, they'll try to break down the person.
Mm-hmm.
So, after that, he finished moving out of his brother Geoff's... Jeff. He finished moving out of his brother Jeff's and he lived out of his truck and he was doing odd jobs for a while to be able to survive. So by this time, his schizophrenia had been progressing, and they also did diagnose him with paranoid schizophrenia. But during this time, they didn't really know. They weren't really making specifics. So anyone who had a general kind of mental illness, they were like, let's just say that they have paranoid schizophrenia.
Fun. Love that.
What I believe is that he had dissociative identity disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he definitely had some other disorders. I haven't really thought too deeply far... Fuck. Oh, my God. I'm so tired right now.
I didn't even hear what was wrong until you just started, like, spazzing on yourself. You're good.
Oh my God. So he definitely had dissociative identity disorder, which is the technical term that we use now for multiple personality disorder. So
that wasn't me, that was Patricia. Or in his case, Kristen.
Kristen. So he was arrested for a series of crimes involving assaulting his own mother, shoplifting women's clothing, and destroying women's property. So this is definitely major mommy issues here, and mm-hmm. gender issues. So gender identity issues, at least. So Haddon was well known within the homeless community, being that he technically was homeless. So he was called generous by other homeless people, and he was also called eccentric. They did say that he had periods of depression, and he compulsively really wanted to be accepted. On September 7th, 1986, Haddon Clark Sr., the father of Haddon and his other siblings, including Bradfield, committed suicide in his home in Rhode Island. He was 57 at the time. This was 15 months after Bradfield had been convicted of murder. So this family is just messed up. I wish I would have looked up more stuff on the other members of the family, but I didn't see anything about the other two siblings. But I wonder how they're doing now. Or, well, Jeff seems like he's doing fine, actually. Jeff has a family, and he kicked out his brother for doing that in front of his children, so there's some rationality there.
There's some sense of normal.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in 1988, Haddon was convicted for malicious destruction of property after he moved out of a home that he was renting a room in. His lease was up, so he set a booby trap over a door, which consisted of a bucket of oil. So when they would open the door, the bucket of oil would fall on the people.
That is like... Have you seen like the Drake and Josh episode where they open the door
and he's just like, Megan. Yeah.
God.
So he also sprayed black dye over the carpet, and he hid fish heads throughout the home, including in the piano, chimney, and the stove, so they would decay over time.
What a dick.
Yeah. Oh, and if you think that's a dick move, he killed their cat, allegedly.
Fuck off. You're the worst person ever.
So when he was picked up by the police, he was caught with a .38 Astra pistol in his pickup, and eventually the gun charge was dismissed. They were like, you know what, let's knock it off, that doesn't look that serious.
Oh my God.
In February 1989, Haddon dressed up as a woman, and he went to several different churches. Did you see this?
Mm-hmm.
So, while church members were attending choir practice, Haddon stole their purses and coats. He was pulled over by the police, and they asked him to open his trunk. Haddon refused to let the police search his trunk. So they opened his trunk and they saw all the purses and coats that had been stolen from the church, obviously. And he claimed that they were his, and he stated that he was a woman. Can you just, okay, just.
I'm sorry. It's so funny in a sense.
Like, just imagine it in your brain. I am a woman. Those are my coats and my purses. And it's just this man standing in front of you in a wig, dressed as a woman. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, he's not well mentally, clearly.
Yeah.
But there's something comical about the, nope, those are mine. I don't know what you're talking about. It's kind of like, anytime,
you know, especially when
someone's like, oh no, that's not mine. I don't know what you're talking about. What weed?
He was actually officer? A very funny guy now that I think about it. That he put the oil over the door to fall on the people. Like, this is actually a very...
It's kind of funny. The fish heads, not so much.
The fish heads is hilarious. I mean, if I...
The murder of cats and children and...
No, you know, that's not so funny. Sweet
baby angels.
But if I was mad at someone, I would hide food throughout their living area in places that you can't find it.
You'd put cheese under their bed?
Yeah. One time I put a pickle and a... No, I didn't put cheese. I put a pickle underneath my brother's bed, and he used to store a lot of stuff under there. So he didn't find it for, like, weeks.
You didn't get the cheese reference.
What do you mean cheese?
Like Jersey Shore.
Oh, they did put cheese on the bed.
The first season?
I did see that recently, too. God. Because for some reason, I decided I'm going to watch every Jersey Shore episode ever.
It's great. They're all on Hulu.
I don't even have time to watch TV, and somehow I've made time for this.
It happens.
So, they also found wigs, dresses, and cash in his trunk when they searched his trunk. He was arrested, and they sent him to jail for 45 days. Police said, I'm not sure entirely if it was during this time or later on. They said that Clark had $40,000 in assets from his temporary jobs. So he was just saving all of his money, but he wasn't spending it, really. So he was said to regularly attend Bible study at a point after this. And he played chess, and he made homemade gifts, and he volunteered for the homeless. He was said to that he could be loud and immature, but he acknowledged that he had no social skills. Like, he knew he had no social skills, and that's why he would act out. But no one ever said that he was aggressive or violent. In 1992, he became a part-time gardener, and he worked for Penny Hoteling in Bethesda, Maryland. One day, Penny's daughter, Laura, returned home from college, and Clark envied and resented Laura for the competition of Penny's attention. Mommy issues.
Mm-hmm. And also, she was beautiful as all get up.
Why don't you tell us what happened, Lauren?
On October 17th, 1992, Penny went out for a conference while she was away, hadn't crept into Laura's bedroom while she was sleeping, dressed in women's clothing, and woke her up from her slumber and asked her why Laura was sleeping in his bed. Like,
yeah,
fuck off. The
audacity. If I'm sleeping and anybody wakes me up, which I've talked about this before, do not wake me up while I'm sleeping. There are only a handful of things that I look forward to during the day, and it's sleeping, eating, and that's basically it, to be honest. So if I'm dead asleep and you wake me up, I'm going to be really, really upset.
Yeah. And also a little confused, right?
Yeah.
Just like Laura was.
Well,
and she was being held at gunpoint at this time.
I'm out. I wake up at 4 or 5 in the morning, and I don't get home until 7. So I do like 13-hour days.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wake me up while I'm sleeping, I'm going to be upset.
I want to fight you.
Mm-hmm.
So he's holding her at gunpoint, and he tells her to get undressed and forced her to take a bath.
How creepy would it be to be sitting there in the bath just washing yourself as but think about
like what his dad did to him?
Well, yeah, because his dad, that I think I put that in my notes, that goes back to when his dad beat him while he was in the bath. Now he's taking it out on her. He's projecting. Mm-hmm.
And then when she's done taking the bath, he covered her mouth with duct tape and she suffocated to death.
Yeah.
He buried her body in a shallow grave near a campsite he was residing in.
That's... He has a thing for doing shallow graves. Like, he doesn't even dig them that deep. He's like, eh, the body... There might be an arm sticking out, but whatever. It's all good. Dirt got is... most of it in.
It's fertilizer. Kind of how he feels. Because he was doing yard work.
He was doing yard work.
He cares about them plants. So, Laura was working in Washington, D.C. at the time. And she was pretty well known for showing up on time. She was never late, never just randomly called out.
Mm-hmm.
She was very much dedicated to her work. So her coworkers got really worried about her not showing up to work. Sorry, I have to sneeze.
It's okay.
Okay. Ugh, the worst. When family members were asked if anyone came to mind after her death was discovered, her brother said Haddon came to mind. Others on the case originally thought that it was a prejudice due to his weirdness.
Yeah, so they thought, oh, he's just a weirdo. Like, it couldn't be him. They're just blaming God on him because he's, like, eccentric and odd.
But there was something that I found while doing research.
Ooh.
A lot of people said, you know, we always thought about him. He was always in the back of our mind when anything weird would happen.
I did see that. A girl that went to elementary school with him said that whenever she was around him, she felt like she had the feeling. Her stomach would upturn and she felt like something wasn't right and she had to get away from him. And this was when she was in elementary school.
But there's so many cases where people are like, oh, I always knew that he would do something weird like this. And it's okay to speak out. If you have a gut feeling about someone and you suspect that they're going to hurt someone else, tell someone.
Yeah.
It's okay. It really is. Don't call 911 for it. Call a non-emergency line.
Mm-hmm.
That is a thing. If you feel like they're going to harm themselves, you can have a wellness check done. So, I just want to say that now. Because that's all I could think about. Was just, you know, like if you see something like that, you have to say it. You have to let someone know.
Yeah, you definitely do have to.
And please trust your gut. You have that gut feeling for
you
a reason.
You know, anytime I've had a gut feeling about something, you know, like, gotten cheated on. Like, you know, you just know stuff. You feel it on, like, intuition. You feel it in your bones.
I hate you.
I am so tired right now. I can't.
I love delusional kind of drunk Alma.
I'm not even drunk. This is like 5%. You're
so tired. It's hitting you harder.
Oh my God. Because I've been up since like 5 a.m.
Shit's wild. I've been up since 4. What's your excuse?
Well, normally I get up earlier, but I was in Upland.
You slept in today. So Clark's fingerprints were found on Laura's pillow. Sorry. Marked by Laura's own blood that Haddon had left from his kill. And they said, like, when they went into the room, it didn't look like a crime had been committed.
It didn't. They had to put Luminol on the bed, and then that's when they saw
it lit up completely. Like, it was just completely glowing. And I just thought of a giant, like, glow stick.
Oh, God.
It's basically what Luminol looks like.
Yeah, that's...
Like, well, if a glow stick had just ruptured.
Yeah. That's basically, when you put Luminol, you'll see the blood splatter like that.
Because it picks up the hemoglobin.
Mm-hmm.
Where was I? My brain hurts today. We're both delusional.
Yeah, today's been, well, it's just been, I don't know. So they found the pillowcase and the shoes nearby in the neighboring woods. When police were interrogating him, after they said, oh, you know, this weird guy who's does our yard sometimes kind of comes to mind. So when they were interrogating him, they said that he acted like three different people. He talked one character, one identity was a woman, another identity was an infant, and the third identity was himself.
And did they say if he had, like, different voices when talking?
He had different voices. During this time, they diagnosed him with paranoid schizophrenia, but they should have diagnosed him with multiple personality disorder, because that was the technical term for it before it became dissociative identity disorder. So the female identity stated that she buried them in New Jersey, and he told police that they should go searching around his childhood home. So in 1993, he pleaded guilty to the murder of Laura Hawtelling, and he received a 30-year sentence. When police asked him why he killed women, he claimed that he thought drinking the blood of the woman might turn him into a woman. He said he wanted to become the woman and the girls he killed.
This might sound ignorant, and I'm not coming from a place to be rude, but could he have possibly been transgender without realizing it? But he also had,
I think he could have,
do you see where that comes to mind?
I think he was transgendered, and maybe that's why he created these alter egos, is to help him kind of to help him cope with the reality of not being a female. So maybe that's why he created, because when you create different identities and you have a dissociative identity disorder, each personality, each identity helps you with a different thing. So the infant might be his neglect from childhood. And then the woman might be his interior feeling of wanting to be a woman.
That wasn't ignorant, was it? Like, it was literally just like,
no, that wasn't ignorant. If you would have said, I'm just going to stop myself right there.
I'm not the T word.
He could have definitely been transgendered, but during that time, it wasn't very common or accepted.
Right. That's why that popped in my mind. Like, that along with his mental illness.
Yeah. It was definitely him finding ways to cope and defense mechanisms is him creating these identities. And maybe the woman was his identity that faced everything he couldn't face, which was him wanting to be a woman and him being a serial killer. Because he himself, as a man, could not face that, but Kristen could.
Because Kristen is a strong bitch.
Kristen is a strong, independent woman.
She don't need no man.
At all. So, while he was in prison, Haddon believed that one of the prisoners was Jesus Christ walking on earth. And this guy did have long hair, I'll give him that.
Was that the only similarity?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Did he walk on water? Did he turn water
into wine? This is a very common factor that I've noticed with people who have mental illness or they get into drugs. Because I know of someone who got into drugs, and they thought that they had met Jesus Christ, but they were just on heroin. True story. So he was on heroin so hard that he thought this long-haired fella was Jesus.
Do you know what that makes me think of? The lady that basically told me Charles Manson was Jesus.
That's just way too far.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, Haddon Clark believed that this prisoner was Jesus. And thinking that he was Jesus, he confessed to him all of his crimes. And during this time, it was also claimed that he was bragging to other prisoners about the murders of a few women, which included Michelle Dorr, the little girl he murdered while he was at his brother Jeff's. He said he threw her in a duffel bag and ate some of her remains before burying her. So whether he ate her remains or didn't, because he could have just been saying this because his brother Bradfield mm-hmm. had eaten that woman's remains. So it's not very clear whether he did or did not eat the little girl's remains. So
I want to live in bliss and say he didn't. Because that sounds awful.
Yeah. That's extremely awful. So, on April 9th, 2000. Oh, okay. So the prisoners ended up reporting the information,
mm-hmm.
and he was tried again, and he was given an additional 30 years to his sentence. On April 9th, the year 2000, Haddon was escorted by the police to search for the bodies. Haddon insisted on wearing a wig and woman's clothing during the search. So they decided to do the search on his grandfather's property in Salis County. So they allowed him to wear a wig and woman's clothing to get him to cooperate with the police. No bodies were found on the property of his grandfather, but he did lead the police to a bucket of about 200 pieces of jewelry and Haddon claimed that they were souvenirs from his murders. The jewelry of Laura Hawtelling's high school class ring was included within the jewelry. He claimed to have murdered at least 12 women between the 1970s and the 1980s. Clark also met with authorities in Meriden, Connecticut, where he claimed to have buried another body around 1980 on a property that was also owned by his grandfather. Police had to delay a few investigations for the bodies due to extreme weather, which became very, very frustrating for everyone that was on the case. As you can imagine, you're going to go out there and there's another blizzard. You can't go out there. And even once the blizzard stops, there's so much snow that you can't go out there.
Mm-hmm.
So during...
That's also DNA evidence that's being destroyed.
That's true. During one of the investigations, they took the inmate that Haddon claimed was Jesus due to him being the only one that Haddon that could calm Haddon down.
Oh.
So
I'm sure this guy was like, I'm loving this kind of attention, but you're weird as fuck.
I'm sure that guy was just like, we're going to go out and get fresh air and we're going to drive around like hell.
And this guy praises me. Let's do it.
I think anyone who's a prisoner, if they got the opportunity to go out and get fresh air, anybody would take it.
Yeah.
So, and also everyone who encountered Haddon said that he made them feel extremely uncomfortable and he could turn any situation into an awful situation. Like as soon as he entered the room, it was chaos. So during...
It's crazy. Just everyone just... See, that gut feeling comes into play.
Yeah. So in 2004, Haddon confessed to the murder of the Lady of the Dunes in Cape Cod, Massachusetts in 1974. So he claimed he had buried the evidence in his grandfather's garden and he refused to give a name to the body, claiming it was due to mistreatment. So he said the authorities, the police mistreated him. They treated him so poorly that he didn't want to reveal her identity due to that. Police lacked the validity of his confession during this time, and they said, you know what, he has paranoid schizophrenia, so we don't really believe this guy, which is valid.
Mm-hmm.
So, investigators were unable to link additional women to Clark Irving Haddon, being that they were never able to find bodies or get actual names of the women. Investigators in Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and Pennsylvania continue to try to determine if his confessions contain validity or if they're merely just projections of his mental illness. So it's very, very hard to know what's true and what's not because of his mental illness. He could just be making stuff up. Or, you know, some of it could just realistically really be delusions and hallucinations that he has within his head.
Do they have medication at this time?
Right now, we have medication. We have medication. We have atypical and there's another medication, types of meds that... Mm-hmm. We can give to patients who have schizophrenia. And what they do is that they level out your neurotransmitters in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And these can reduce positive and negative effects from schizophrenia, which could eventually get you to reduce them and lead a more normal life. But I'm not really sure if in his case it would work, to be honest, because it can only do so much. And not only do you need to take medication, but you also need to go to therapy and you need to want to get the help.
Right. Okay.
So there is the possibility. So for people who are diagnosed with schizophrenia, there is help, especially when it's earlier on.
But at the time?
At the time, honestly... Probably not. They threw everyone. They were like, let's just pick them up and let's just throw them in the asylum. That was it. No medication.
That was the worst season of American Horror Story.
Let's just give them, like, metal forks. That's it. Mm-hmm. They can eat with metal forks. It's fine.
They're not going to stab anyone.
So, he's believed to be linked to as many... as 12 to 22 women, according to the FBI. Although there is no evidence and there's lack of validity in his confessions. Although the pieces that they found of jewelry, which contained 200 pieces that were found on his grandfather's property. What the fuck was that?
Well, those are pipes. My neighbor just took a shit.
Oh.
Either that or gross. Taking a shower.
So they...
It's more likely that's a shower.
So because they found the pieces of jewelry, that did seem to prove some validity to him claiming that he had murdered women.
Mm-hmm.
He has those two confirmed murders, the murder of Michelle and the murder of Laura. Haddon is currently serving a 60-year sentence in Montgomery County, Maryland. No release date can be found for Bradfield or for Haddon. Bradfield has already served his 18 years that he was sentenced. He served them up a couple of years ago, but there's been no information released on his brother Bradfield. And Haddon, honestly, I don't even think he'll ever make it out, but there's no information on that either. 60 years. He has 60 years, so I don't think he would make it past those 60 years, to be honest.
We can only hope.
Well, he has paranoid schizophrenia. Well, we don't even really know because they didn't correctly diagnose him in the beginning because of the lack of information at that time.
Right. It's just when people have proven that they have no, fuck it. It's human life. Who cares? You know what I mean?
Like, he has no regard for human life.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely has no regard for human life. And this is a sign, more an autism, where you kind of view everything as an object and you don't really humanize it, which is what we talked about in the Michael Myers episode, which is he viewed that person as an object. So when he killed her, he watched her swing back and forth like she was a toy. But that's more an autism, but I'm not really sure if that pertains to schizophrenia as much, but I feel like to an extent it just kind of like blurs your reality to where you might think it is a game. So it could be the same in that general aspect.
Okay.
All right.
I'm learning so much about the mind, guys. Just from Alma.
Yeah. My,
and I'm professor like. Professor over here.
Barely into psych. Like, I'm definitely, like, I'm very into psych, but I'm very, very early on in my, getting my psych degree. Yeah, in my studies. So, I mean, this was an interesting story, you guys. It was a wild ride.
Yeah, I feel like I've learned a lot, and I'm kind of mind-fucked, to put it lightly.
You look so disheveled right now.
I'm a little out of it.
Yeah,
sleep deprived.
The majority of it looks like sleep deprivation.
But then that on top of this story is just kind of like.
And the one white claw. The one sip of the one white claw.
It's not even.
Yeah, you had like half of one.
I am babying this white claw right now because I'm so tired. But it was. So, I want to watch more documentaries on it. I'm probably going to do that tonight.
So I hope you guys enjoyed this story.
Yeah.
We do have an update on the shirts. They are printing. They should be done. We're hoping tomorrow or this weekend. So you guys will hear from us. Anyone who ordered the pre-orders will probably hear from us by this weekend. And if you didn't get a chance to do a pre-order, we should have the t-shirts up on our new website sometime next week. Once we have the website up, we'll definitely let you guys know. We'll post it on the page. We'll obviously see it on the next podcast. Yeah, so absolutely. Look forward to that.
Yeah, I'm so excited for the shirts to be done. And the website looks amazing.
It's been such a long process.
We might. Great job.
Honestly, the website might go live this weekend, but the t-shirts just won't go up until next week.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, you guys. If you guys are still listening, if we haven't scared you guys away yet, thank you for your continued support.
I love you. Yes. Do you love them too, Alma?
We love every single one of you guys.
Yes. That's a lot of love.
That is a lot of love.
We now have listeners in the Netherlands.
We have listeners. I am very, very proud of where we have listeners. The last time I checked, I'm actually way too tired right now to mention it, but I did see France. And France, I did see
Ireland and the Netherlands are ones that I can remember.
So I did see France, and we do have some in Paris. Mm-hmm. So bonjour, mommy.
Wow. That was adorable. Oh my God. Look at my friend. I've been
practicing guys. French for 3 years, and I don't know anything about French still.
You know, I've been trying to learn Spanish since I was a freshman in high school.
It's easy.
Well, Alma. Must be nice. Spoken to Deutsch?
Do you speak Dutch?
German.
German. Yeah. All right. Well, you guys, thank you for listening. And thank you for listening to our delusional asses.
Yeah.
So have a good day, good night, whatever the hell it is, wherever, whenever you guys are listening to this. And stay morbid.
Bye, guys.
Bye.